Well, a very good morning once again to each and every one of you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to Church of our Savior. Welcome to this, our second service here at the 10:30. It's good to see so many of you here, both in the upstairs auditorium as well as those of you downstairs here. Well, as you settle down to your seats, as you prepare to receive the word of the Lord, I thought this morning what I want to do is I want to continue from where we last left off last weekend. And if you were here, you will probably recall that we at Kusia, we celebrated Finn's 6th anniversary. And you know, what a wonderful time we had last week, isn't it? Yeah, we had a great time of worship, the word and the dance and so forth. And really want to thank Anne. Anne, where are you? Are you here? Yeah, I want to thank Anne for just putting all that in place for us. And also, if you're present, you realize that at the end of the service, there was the call for all of us here in the church for us to be an inclusive community to those with disabilities. Now bear in mind that when I use this term disability, I'm really referring not only to people with special needs. I'm not referring to those who are autistic, ADHD or Down syndrome. But in using this term disability, I'm also referring to those who are disabled. You know, to those who are handicapped as well. And so for this very morning, what I want to reinforce is to reinforce this message that for us to be an inclusive community requires first of us to have this correct perspective or to have this correct mindset, understanding of disability. And then in my second part of my sharing today, I want to point out that though these people, though they may be the weaker part of the community, they are nevertheless, as the Bible tells us, they are still valuable, they are still indispensable, and they can still be part of our world today. And so it's important that you and I, we need to learn how to embrace them. And so with that, can I invite you to just bow heads with me as we come to the Lord and we give this time and invite the Holy Spirit to just minister and speak to us. So Father, once again, we come before you. We acknowledge that today, this time is precious time, moments that we have with you. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be in our midst, speak to our minds, change our perspective, what needs to be changed, and that speak to us. And that, Lord, whatever I share today, whatever reflection that we have may be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to begin with my own personal journey. You know, the month of May in the year 2005 was to be for me a time of triple celebration. Why triple celebration, you may say? Well, firstly, the month of May happens to be the month of my birthday. So how many of you are born in the month of May? So few are. You know, yesterday at the end of the service, someone came up to me and said, you know, Pastor Darren, I'm also born in the month of May. And then she made this comment. You know, those born in the month of May are good looking. I cannot but help agree with her. So how many of you are born in the month of May now? More hands, of course. Okay. So that's the first reason for my celebration. It was my birthday. Secondly, it was a time of celebration also because I was due to finally graduate from my theological studies at Trinity Theological College after 3 long years. Now, yes, I did enjoy my time there, but you know, all good things have to come to an end. And so I finally have to graduate. All right. So it was a time of celebration. And thirdly, the cause of my celebration was really because I was going to be a father again for the third time. However, what meant to be a triple celebration ended up only in one big setback. Now perhaps you may be thinking, what was the setback? Well, it was has nothing to do with my graduation. I did finish my papers and you know I did pass, you know, so I did eventually graduate, okay? But rather the setback has to do with the birth of my son Jeriel. And later on you will probably get to look at the picture of him. And I remember the event clear as day. So let me unfold to you what exactly happened. You see, at a period of time, I was in JB with my classmates as we were preparing for our graduation at a retreat, and I received a call from my wife, Cassandra, informing me that she was in labor. After a few hours later, I got another call from her, this time stating that Gerald had now born and had arrived into this world. However, from a tone of voice, I sensed that something was amiss. Something was wrong. Something was not quite right. So as I inquired from her, how was everyone? It was then that she dropped the bombshell. She related to me that as soon as Gerald was born, everything about him seemed so different from our first two children. His appearance was a marked departure from his older siblings. Even the doctor and the nurses present could detect the different features, especially his small eyes. And so whisking him away, they then told my wife that they needed to perform a series of tests to determine, in their own words, if he was normal. And so when the results were finally out, they informed her of their confirmed suspicion that Gerald indeed had a chromosome abnormality known as Down syndrome, or in short, DS. Down syndrome. How could this be? Now, you know, I remember asking the Lord, wrestling the Lord, Lord, why has this have to happen to me and my family? Of all the people, why us? You know that I'm a pastor serving you full time. Have we done something wrong that we deserve this? Yes, even we pastors are human. We go through this, we struggle, we wrestle with the Lord. And you know, they even say that, you know, based on statistics, the chances of those having a special need child, especially for the woman, are higher for those of you who are 35 years and older. And you know, my wife at the time when she gave birth, I better not tell you her age, but definitely she was below 35 years old. Besides, my sister had earlier given birth to a fourth child, and it was a normal, healthy child. And she gave birth at the time when she was 40 years old. So how could this have possibly happened to me and my family? Now, for those of you who do not know anything about Down syndrome, here's a little fact for you. Down syndrome is basically a genetic condition that causes delay in physical and intellectual development of an individual. And I think, yeah, you can see there the picture of my son. I think this was taken about below 1 year old, alright? It occurs in approximately one in every 800 live births. Now, so in summary, you find that a person who is diagnosed with Down syndrome basically have 47 chromosomes instead of the usual 46. So we learn something new here today, okay? All of you here, normal people, we all have 46 chromosomes. But for those special needs, especially for my son who is Down syndrome, he has that one extra chromosome. It's the most frequent occurring chromosome disorder. Now, you know, upon learning about my son's condition for the first time, I was wondering to myself, why can't they just remove that one extra chromosome? I mean, 47, right? You just remove one, become 46, then he's become normal, you know? Anyway, it's easier to remove than to add in something, isn't it? Well, apparently it's not so simple, to my great disappointment. And so we find that as a result of all of that, from that very date onwards, the life of the Chu family would never be the same again. From that day onwards, forever, we will now have to include and to cope with a special need child within the household. So here's the question that I want to pose to you right now. Can those with special need or those who have disabilities be included as part of us who are considered to be normal? Can we who are normal accept those who have disabilities? If so, how? Well, I believe the answer is yes. And the key starting point is for all of us to have this right perspective or view of disabilities. You see, throughout the ages, people with disability have often been typically been and continually been seen as aberration. That is, a departing or deviation from one that is normal. So simply put, the historical view is that people tend to see those with disability as a normal part of life in a normal world. Furthermore, if we are honest enough, we find that there are times, and maybe still even today, that when we encounter people with disabilities, we will hear the following questions being posed. Where the children will probably ask the parents this question: Mommy, what's wrong with that girl? Daddy, what's his problem? Why is that child so different? Now, hearing all these questions, what do you think is the underlying assumption here? I believe it is this. It is simply that the routine of the world in which you and I live in forms the norm. That means to say that anything different or anything that's outside of the norm is thus regarded as something other. Or to put it very bluntly, anything that is not of the norm, we therefore consider it as abnormal. Now, of course, this does not have a very nice or positive connotation. And it does not take much imagination to understand why people with disabilities resent being seen this way. After all, no one wants to be defined exclusively by his or her limitations. No one wants to be considered unacceptable to the rest of the human community. And certainly no one wants to carry this unwanted stigma. Worse is the justification for the countless abuse against those with disabilities. You know, as authors Norman Kuhn and Emma van der Cliff, writing on this particular subject, they say this, and you can see it on the quote above. Throughout history, people with physical and mental disabilities have been abandoned at birth, banished from society, used as court jesters, drowned and burned during the Inquisition, gassed in Nazi Germany, and still continue to be segregated, institutionalized, tortured in the name of behavior management, abuse, rape, euthanized, and murdered. Tragically, this is an accurate account. And from here we can see clearly how people are viewed often affects how they are treated. So if you are viewed differently, they will treat you differently. And you will also realize that in this historical view, little or no focus is given to the valuable personhood of the individual. Nothing is given to show that they are created in the image of God, just as you and I are created in the image of God. And so this gives rise, therefore, to the next view, which is known as the postmodern view. Because you find that advocates who support disabilities, people who thoroughly are annoyed by this abnormal label being slapped on those with disability, and in determining to improve the life of these people, these activists, they resort to change the language. And you find that the alteration cannot be overemphasized. If you listen carefully, you will now hear the dramatically shift, the shifting terminology. So ponder now this particular statement from a disability advocate at a Down syndrome conference in the United States. This person has this to say. Having a disability is different like any other human characteristics. It is not a deficiency. It is by no means a tragedy and does not deserve pity or benevolence or charity. Now is the time, this person says, is to recognize and celebrate disability rather than ignore, devalue, or use it as a justification or for lower expectation. Now when you hear this, I'm not sure, can you sense a huge shifting here in this postmodern view? You see, this postmodern view is now this. They now view that disability now becomes a normal part of life in a normal world. But I wonder, does this person really meant what was said here? Of course, I can agree that no one wants to be an object of pity, isn't it? But here's the problem that I really have with this particular statement. If disability is really something to be celebrated, then why don't more of us attempt to have disabilities? Why don't all of us go bang our heads on the wall and then get a PhD? Permanent head damage. Imagine the ramification of this particular view. Suppose you knew of my birth of my son and you decide to visit me and my wife at the hospital and you greeted us. And when you see us, you say this, you know, hey, Pastor Darren, isn't it great? So glad to hear of your son's diagnosis. It couldn't have happened to a nicer family. I just wish it was me. Really? It couldn't have happened to a nicer family? You wish you had a Down syndrome boy? Thanks for the encouragement. What would your reaction be if you were in my shoes? Would you think of yourself that the person saying this is right of mine? Or will you simply be upset knowing that the things said here were cruel and even ridiculous? You see, friends, this example seemed absurd, and it is. Why? Because the normal part of a normal world perspective is absurd. Those who want to promote this philosophy are capturing only partial truth in an inaccurate context. You see, this ability is indeed a normal part of our life as we know. Because you find people with an endless variety of disability of every kind across this whole universe. But this does not make it something to be celebrated. The key then is to recognize that we are not living in a normal world. Rather, we are living in an abnormal world. You see, only when we recognize this true biblical view, that disability is a normal part of life in an abnormal world, we can then begin to make sense of it. But wait a minute, some of you may ask me and argue and say, but Pastor Darren, isn't this world of ours a normal one? How can you say it is an abnormal world? After all, didn't the Bible, in the account of creation, we read that when God created everything, it was good. And mankind was deemed to be very good. Well, let's check what the Bible has to say. So if your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 right now. We're going to read from verses 27 to verse 28. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the Word of God says this. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them and blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then look at verse 31. And God saw everything that He made and behold, it was good. So yes, these verses do reveal to us that the world we live in was good. It reveals to us that as humans, we are God's crowning act of creation. Though fashioned as creatures, you and I nevertheless designed to embody God's likeness. This means having a myriad of finite personalities that reflect God's infinite reality. And this includes things like the ability to love, to relate, to reason, and much more. Man was indeed designed to reflect the essence of God's character expressed through this image of God. In other words, we are fashioned to experience purposeful and blessed life. So this world was indeed good. However, despite of this, as we know of the creation account, something else happened, isn't it? Tragedy struck. In Adam and Eve's desire to rule not only over the rest of creation, but over themselves as well, we find that the fall of mankind occurred. And as a result of this fall, it adversely impacted every aspect of creation. Hence, our world becomes an abnormal world from one that is deemed to be good. From that day onwards, for the very first time in human experience, brokenness and difficulties were introduced. And you find that this marring of creation affects not only the spiritual, it also affects the physical, the intellectual, the emotional, the psychological, as well as the social. And it continues to carry over today into our world, where our bodies and our relationship with self, others, and God. So what does this mean in practical terms for us? Does this imply that everything in human experience is ruined by the fall? Well, the answer is no. But it does mean that everything in our human experience is affected by the fall. You see, from now onwards, every level of our human experience, there is now both this mixture of blessedness of creation as well as the brokenness of the fall. And for some of us, the effects of this brokenness are more noticeable. For example, maybe those persons who is battling with cancer, or like my son diagnosed with Down syndrome, or like many of us who have disability. These are the signs of brokenness that are more noticeable. They are more visible to our sight. It is just a difference of degree along a long line of spectrum. So therefore, the correct understanding that we should embrace, the correct understanding that we should have, is this biblical view, that disability is a normal part of life in an abnormal world. It is due to the fall that no one now enjoys the extreme of complete blessing. We all experience, you and I, we all experience this mixture of the two in our lives as long as we are still in this world. So now that we have the right perspective, we are now able and ready to embrace disability. But how can we do so? Well, let me add that we can do so with much love, with much compassion, and with much understanding. So the next time, if you see someone in public, maybe in church, or maybe later on at the service where you go out at the hospitality, when you see a family with special need, and you see that the child is happening to have a meltdown, you may not know what to do, but don't do this, please. Don't scowl at them. Don't give them that look as though that they are not controlling the kids. Be mindful that they too, like you, are created in the image of God. That they too are loved by God. That like you, they too, God sent Jesus to die for your sins. It is because of their brokenness that you are seeing, that is made more visible. So embrace them by understanding all of this. But equally so, we can embrace those with disability by seeing that they are indispensable, or they are valuable part of our world. And this is what I want to focus on next. You see, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, talking about the need to be of one body, many members, he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22. He tells the church that on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Let me say that again. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So Paul is saying, those with disability, they may be the weaker part in our body, but they are indispensable. They are still valuable. So in this second part, I want to relate to you another testimony of how my family, we embrace this disability as part of our world. And I want to show you how my son is truly an indispensable part of my life. You see, when my wife was recovering from a delivery and of the news of the diagnosis regarding my son, we had a visit from my senior pastor of the church. Now, at the end of the visit, he left us, he prayed for us, and he left us with this verse that we all know all too well. And the verse that he left us was found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And what does Romans 8, 28 say? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Now let me tell you, I must confess to you, that when I first heard this, I was rather taken aback. I was dumbfounded. All things work together for good? Are you kidding me? My son is Down syndrome. What good can a Down syndrome boy do? What good is there? Again, I questioned the Lord. But you know, I must say that God is good, isn't He? He had to gently rebuke me in this area. He showed me that His definition of good, like any other thing, is not the same definition of ours. What we term as good is not the way God defines as good. And as Isaiah 55 verse 8 puts it, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." This is what God said. "Neither are your ways my ways." And definitely you can add, your idea of good is not my definition of good. Thus, what he terms as good is very different from what we expect or understand. And this is something that's very important for us to remember. And to highlight this, I want to share with you a passage In Mark chapter 1, in Mark chapter 1, we read of this particular incident where Jesus, in his earlier part of his ministry, together with his disciples, they went round the region teaching, preaching, you know, and they were healing, they were doing many forms of miracles. And then we come to this passage that we are told that it was already evening and Jesus went into this particular town. And as he went into this town, the passage tells us in verse 33 of Mark chapter 1 that the whole city, the Bible stresses here that the whole city gathered together and all who were sick, all who were demon possessed came to Jesus. So apparently this town may have heard what Jesus had done earlier. And so they wanted to receive that healing. And so they all who were not well came to see Jesus. And because it was late in the evening, somehow all came, but the Bible interestingly tells us that although all came, not all were healed. Instead, only many were healed. So this tells us that there were some who were left, you know, not being healed at all. And so as a result, you know, some of the people become not happy lah, you know. After all, if Jesus healed my friend, how come don't heal me, you know. So they were not happy. So we find that the passage continues to tell us that early in the next morning, Peter, when he awoke, he was surprised to find there was a long queue waiting to see Jesus. Because apparently they too wanted to be healed. And so Peter was excited. You know, he went to find Jesus. And so when he finally found Jesus, he told Jesus, "Hey, you know, Jesus, we did something good last night. You know, we healed many people. You know, demons were being cast out. Many people were being healed. And now the crowd is coming back. They see this good thing and we must continue to do this good thing." What do you think was Jesus' response to Peter? Well, look with me to Mark chapter 1, reading from verses 36. "And Simon and those who were with him searched for Jesus, and when they found him, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" And listen to what Jesus responded to Peter in verse 38. "And he said to them, 'Let us go to the next town that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.'" If you were Peter, what would be your response? What? Go to the next town for what? You know, we're doing something good. Let's continue the good work. You see, this passage clearly tells us that what we often think as good may not be God's definition of good. And so for me, it's the same. I began to understand the goodness of God. And God, indeed, by His grace, He did use a Down syndrome boy for His good. You see, it was Gerald, in spite of his condition, did something which none of the family members could ever achieve. He was the only one who eventually brought my mother-in-law to Christ. And that's the good in God's eyes. Yes, let's give God a clap offering for that. Praise the Lord. Now let me explain how this happened, okay? You see, my wife comes from a non-Christian family where all the three sisters, they went to St. Hilda School, a mission school. And it was there that she and the second sister eventually came to the Lord. And slowly, one by one, the rest of the family followed suit. Next to accept Christ was the younger brother, then the elder sister with her family, and coming behind was my father-in-law. However, for my mother-in-law, it took a little longer. All through these years, you know, despite all the prayers, despite all the many invitations, no matter how much we tried, she still didn't want to become a Christian. She still remained firm. But you know, all this changed upon the birth of Gerald. Now, one thing about children with Down syndrome that you must understand, they carry with them all sorts of medical issues. Okay, and certainly for my son, he was no different. Okay, when he was born, we were told that he had issues with his eyes, he couldn't see properly, he had issues with his hearing, you know, he had problems with his speech, and even today, later on you see he's 12 years old, he still can't converse as the way we converse today, alright? The longest word he can form that we could understand is three words. You know, when he was growing up that time, he used to gibberish a lot of things. We say he's speaking in tongues a lot, you know. But he still had this speech problem, alright? He had developmental growth. And when growing up, he had two holes in his heart. But to cut the long story short, you know, Gerald had failed his hearing test at KK, not once, not twice, but three times. And the doctor had this gut feeling that on his fourth test, he would fail again. So naturally, as parents, we were concerned, you know, so we gathered the family together to pray for God's healing on the night before of his hearing test. And so when the day of the test came, on his final attempt, guess what? He finally passed. The doctor said that he could hear. And so we went back rejoicing with the great news. And when we told my mother-in-law, when she heard about this, she immediately said that she was going to become a believer because she saw that God answered our prayers. Praise the Lord, isn't it? And thus, I often will boast, you know, I will often tell people, you know, that my son Gerald, in bringing my mother-in-law to the Lord, he's the youngest ever evangelist. At only the age of 6 weeks old, he's got 100% record. Only one attempt, 100%, you know. And mind you, he did so without even uttering a word. Fantastic, isn't it? So this is the good that God can use. Well, this whole episode really taught me that God can use a special needs individual and that they are truly indispensable. It opened my eyes to see that people with disability can and is part of our world, and we must make the effort to embrace and accept them. So friends, why touch on this particular topic today? Well, the answer is simply really. And there are three reasons that I want to propose to you. For a start, we need to embrace people with disability simply because people with disabilities are all around us, even here in Coos. Last week, we just have to open our eyes to see there's so many of them here. And just to name a few. Yeah, we have Cheryl, we have Leon, we have Marcus, Emmanuel, Felicia, and we have Sean. You know, we have a few of us here. They are here in our midst in Coos. Let not your eyes be blinded. They are here to stay. They will not go away. Furthermore, they are not only here in Coos, but know that they are also here in the world. You probably heard of this man, and we talked about him before, Nick Vujic. Remember him? A man who was born without limbs. He came to give us some talks. And recently, we also have another woman, Jessica Cox, a woman born without hands, who is currently in town. And you can see those pictures up there. And I'm told that this woman, Jessica Cox, is a really amazing woman. You know, she could drive a car, no hands, no. She could drive a car using her legs. I don't know how she does that. She could play the piano using her legs. And she's a karate expert. Don't mess with her, okay? We have people like this. And then next, the second reason why we want to talk about disability and why we should embrace them. Because when you consider in our Queenstown area, if you just drive down along Margaret Drive, what do you see? Yes, you see the St. Andrew's Nursing Home, but that's not our focus for today. All right. Next to St. Andrew's Nursing Home, what do you see? Rainbow Center. And you know, Rainbow Center has just expanded, you know, it's become bigger. And go further down the road, what do you see? Another special needs school, Mines. And then when you leave church today, as you go out the doors of the auditorium, what do you see at the back? You see an influx of HDB and condominiums that is coming up, isn't it? So you just put these two pictures together, you get the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is this. Families with disabilities will soon be moving into our doorsteps. Wow, what a great opportunity. Now, how many of them there will be, I really don't know. That's not important. But what's important is for sure, they will be coming in here. And think about this. If you're not ready to embrace them, and they walk into our steps, and we give them that look, and we say that, you're not welcome. I think that's not a very good testimony of the church, isn't it? I think at the end of time, if we are doing this, God will have to question us, why have you not been embracing to these people? After all, they are created in my image. After all, I died for them too. Are they so different? So church, we must be ready. And they will come, you know why? Because they will probably be drawn to our spanking new building. Like it or not, they will come. And the third reason why I want to talk to you about this is also because we in Coos, we have Sunshine Ministry. How many of you remember Sunshine Ministry? Or alien to you, Sunshine Ministry? Okay, Sunshine Ministry, in case you don't know, is a special needs Sunday school that was set up by Dorothy Jason a few years back. In case you aren't aware, it is still in operation. I wanted to resurrect Sunshine Ministry, but I cannot resurrect if it's not dead. Okay, so it's actually still going on, but it's just on a smaller scale. All right, so I just want you to know that we still have a Sunshine Ministry. We are still ministering to people with disability, with special need in our Sunshine Ministry. But we believe that when the people comes into our community, Sunshine Ministry will have to expand. Sunshine Ministry will have to grow. And we have to embrace them. And this is why we have, at the end of the service, a booth outside the plaza. And I want to encourage those of you, if today's message speaks to you, if God is stirring in your hearts today, that yes, you want to do something, you want to know more about special needs or those with disability, will you go out to the plaza, go to the booth, you meet a staff that we have designated to look into this area of the Sunshine Ministry, Mako, should be out there together with the team. They'll be there to talk to you, to share with you a little bit more. You want to sign up as a volunteer, do so, because we are expecting a harvest, we are expecting a growth, a number of people to come in. Now let me stress that those of you who may not have experience in this area, you may not have any training, not to worry. Okay, you just come, you just sign up, we will provide the necessary training for you. Or some of you may say, I may not have the time to commit every week. It's okay. Ad hoc basis is also alright. Okay, so we do accept you. If you have any queries, you just go outside. Alright, but more importantly also, we also want to welcome those of you who may be trained and have expertise in this area. Right? Because we do need your help. You are also welcome as well. So as we close our time together, as the worship team comes up to prepare themselves, as we hear the words this morning, shall we stand once again? Let us stand, right? Let us stand once again as we affirm inclusiveness. You know, we can only do this. In closing, to sum up, we can only embrace inclusiveness if we have the correct mindset. And so to recap, disability is not an abnormal part of life in a normal world. Disability is not a normal part of life in a normal world, but rather the correct biblical perspective is that disability is a normal part of life in an abnormal world, and they are indispensable. Let's sing this song.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given, Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given, Jesus Christ, His Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Oh, we give thanks.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed, Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that the weak can say that I am strong, that the poor can say that I am rich, because in your sight there is no one that is different. All are equal in your sight. There's no Jews, there's no Greek, there's no slave, no free. All were made to drink of one spirit. For your word says that for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So Father, this morning as we thank you for your word that has been shared, we pray, Lord, that you help us today to really embrace people with disability. Lord, help us that as we go out from this place, our mindset will be changed. Help us to see that they are really created in the image of God, just as we are created in the image of God. Help us to see that these people are one who you love and died for, just as you died and loved for us. So Father, help us to go out with this right mindset, to embrace them, to know that they are valuable, to know that they are important. So Father, as we depart from this place, we pray that you challenge us as we prepare for what is to come in the future. Yeah, as we anticipate, as we wait patiently, as we see what is going to happen in Queenstown area. Many new things are going to happen. And definitely, people with disability will be walking here into the midst of our church. So Father, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds to embrace them. We give you thanks, and as we depart from this place, we pray, Lord, for the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among each and every one of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, church service is over. Those of you who are interested in knowing more special need and disability, would you just go out to the plaza and sign up at the counter? God bless you all.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.